Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG From Scratch. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Liam.
Suck it.
Doug.
Hello.
And Max.
Hey, it's me.
It's Max again. We got him.
Yay!
We bagged him, boys.
Sorry.
Liam came in so aggressive there, right off the top.
Look, it's my mood for the day. Take it or leave it.
All right. Okay, let's take it. So I got kind of a droll subject, but we've been kind of avoiding it for a while, and I think we need to dig in, just get our fingers deep in that boring-ass mud.
So this is the intervention. I always knew it was coming.
Liam, we just want you to know that we love you.
And we want to dig in your mud.
And the mud that we're digging into today is inventory.
Oh. There we go. And you are correct.
Well, you can do this one without me, fellas. Am I?
So I think we need to actually recognize this reaction here as being something important to our feelings of inventory.
It's like, they're like, hey, do you mind peeling some potatoes? And they're like, the bag of potatoes over there. And you're like, yeah. And then you open a door and it's just a giant warehouse full of potatoes.
I think it's because the idea of creating an inventory system means, okay, now we're that game now. You know, it's there's a stigma of that, that if you have it, you are now that kind of game.
How many arrows did you shoot?
Yeah.
Oh. I hate that shit.
I like, if you have a pocket of 15 special arrows, I want to know how many you shot of those. Don't give a shit about the rest. I think probably our audience may be having the same reaction as we are, except for there's a fundamental thing is you'll be acquiring stuff the entire game. You're going to be picking things up. Yeah. You're going to be putting it in a bag, and you're going to be walking around. And D&D has the laziest and still most infuriating solution to this problem, which is bags of holding. D&D and Pathfinder. Pathfinder, apparently.
Pathfinder. I like that.
Channeled Savannah. Okay, Arby's, yeah?
They have the meats.
They do.
What about like a pocket universe that you can peek into?
Okay. Anyway,
so let's just actually take the moment to recognize that.
I mean, that's just lazy writing.
Being strict about inventory sucks. Yeah. Right. But you know what doesn't really suck? I don't think is having a certain amount that you can literally have on you. Right. Like for combat.
Yes.
That you having to make a choice there is not the same as, like, you got to leave half the gold behind.
Yeah.
Right?
A loadout. Yeah. A loadout sounds good.
Loadout is
fine.
Good. Ooh, we should use that word, loadout.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Okay.
All right.
Plus one momentum, me.
Yeah. Plus one design momentum.
The first design momentum.
Yep. First annual.
Fuck. Someone write down the date. Almost the Radish Festival.
Yeah. So we talked about tracking time before, speaking of the Radish Festival. Mm-hmm. Radish Festival. That's hard to say.
Radish. They got the dish and then you're not supposed to ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Irish wristwatch. Tracking time serves an important narrative purpose, right? Much in the way that I think tracking inventory can. And we came up with a calendar and using it in practice didn't suck.
No.
It was fine because we started making holidays and doing things that were important for our group. And we
also solved some of the problems that I actually have with our own real calendar that make me very angry.
The lack of symmetry.
Yeah, it sucks.
Also, the names that are just wrong. There's wrong names.
The fact that October is the 10th month of the year will forever make me very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Just also teaching it to children. We're going to teach you base
root. But they don't know the root words at that age anyway. You were a nerd.
were and am, sir.
never grew out of nerdness, nerdiness, nerddom.
You were the kid that I'm sure your elementary school teacher hated. Just like, oh, this little asshole again with the fucking October, bringing it up every time. Again.
Every time.
Oct means eight. Yes, it's the 10th month. Who is in charge of this? That does remind me of that great like little post where it says, man, I hope the guy made October the 10th month gets stabbed. And it's just like, good news.
Et tu, Gregory? We talked about slots being a thing on your character and what you can carry. Like, everything should have a certain number of slots for how much room it takes up. Well, you know what? That for a loadout, that's totally appropriate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For how much you can carry, do we solve this mechanically for them having too much loot to physically carry? Or do we just solve it in the setting so that beasts of burden are just common?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works for me.
We talked about a banking system as well. We can... Getting into the nitty-gritty of the banking system, I think we should probably only do from a sense of flavor, like what makes the banks interesting, not necessarily...
It's flavor text to tell your player, don't worry about it. Like, bring your money here, don't worry about it. This is a safe space, you know, for...
Or possibly a narrative moment later.
Yeah.
Like, what we want it to be is a tool for the GM. Like, the banking system, instead of being a way to make your characters make sure that they don't get punished for not paying attention to all the gear they picked up.
Right.
It should be a tool for the GMs to explore the lore of how these things connect. So we should make a clever reason in the lore about banking and about storage and about like the network of transferring goods.
Do you imagine it mechanically speaking similar to like the chest in Resident Evil? Where, like, you put a weapon in there, you put whatever you want in there.
The chest in any RPG.
Oh, sure. But, like,
you know. Or Diablo, where it doesn't matter. Between characters, you have.
Yeah. But at least in Resident Evil, there's no explanation.
Right.
Like, there's no explanation as to how it works that way or whatever. But the idea that you can put it, the bank is that. You go, you take your money, you take whatever you want, you can put it in the vault, you put it in a safe or whatever, and then you can go down the river, you go all the way to Whitsnarf, and then you can go to the bank there, and they'll have your information.
I don't know if we should do it with.
I was thinking.
Items, but the idea that. Fungible goods that doesn't matter makes sense to me.
What about NFTs?
I'll strangle you with your own cock, sir.
You know, it's funny though. Max isn't that flexible.
Yeah. Wasn't gonna stay on.
You bring up a good point with the NFTs because blockchain, I think, is actually a clever way for our characters not to have to constantly carry cash everywhere. Right. We talked about this before where the banks maybe had a stone that they could use to communicate with other banks to transfer balances and stuff like that. It's a credit system.
Yeah.
So we would need some kind of identification system.
What about if there's like an IMF?
What's that?
International Monetary Fund, like a overarching continental banking guild.
It could be that. It could even be a local one. Local, right?
And it just behooves them to interact with other banks.
Would we give this primarily to the Geld because they are litigious, or would we give it to the Hrod because they are so long lived and still have the physical banking structures?
Both.
I think the Geld and the Hrod created the system, but nowadays it's mostly run by Tiktani actual workers.
Well, I mean, that works too.
Everybody would be using the same system, right?
So, yes. The air quotes infrastructure might be made by the Hrod.
Yeah.
You know? Like when you go to a French restaurant and you look in the kitchen and everyone there speaks Spanish.
But and the whole thing is, I don't even think we need to over-explain it because it could just be a system that has been in use for so long that the idea of even thinking about it as a character, they'd be like, no, the banks just work. What are you talking about?
The only reason why I want to drill in, like, how did this start? Is because it gives us stuff to do later. Like it gives us hooks to hang adventures on, you know? Yeah. Like it may not be that your character it's run by the Geld or the Hrod currently, but when you walk into the bank, you see a Geld and a Hrod holding a giant dollar bill, you know, and what was that Geld's name? Oh, we found his missing treasure. You know, stuff like that.
Well, I think it would be super lame to run a campaign around banks, like, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to run a campaign around an insurance group, so...
Yeah.
It can be fun.
All of this is just down to the fact that we're trying to make playing the game easier with management of your stuff. Like, you accumulate shit, And now how do you deal with it without driving one person crazy?
But without also losing the sense of... The right word
of fantasy.
Or solidness.
Or like the ownership of it. Like you've actually got it.
That there is a ground level of firmament that this world functions.
The verisimilitude.
What the French call a certain I don't know what.
This is dumb, but let's just play off of it. What if you use the crystal and there's a version of like Craigslist? So you kill a bunch of dudes and then you put on a Craigslist pickup. Like we got a bunch of armor, 15 rupees or whatever, and someone just shows up and the DM runs it that way.
Well, let's think about it this way. You're in a military and you fight another military, medieval, right? And they were in armor and you kill them in the war. What's their armor worth? Not much. Not to you.
Yeah, especially since there's probably thousands of ones just like it.
Yeah, and it's also been damaged because it was in the war.
And
it's cursed.
Because you murdered them. And also,
that's why you have to bend their sword.
Made for a specific person to be carried and worn correctly.
Yeah, the funny thing is the person inside of it is what's important and expensive.
Yes. They're hard to replace.
You don't want to crack them because you can sell them, but you can't really sell them.
Right.
You can sell the brookies, though.
So I think you'd sell it. Used armor is scrap.
Yeah.
It's not like the pristine resale whatever that we pretended is in other games, right?
Weapons would be easier to transfer.
Yes. But I feel like that's probably easier reflected in the system. And also the idea that we didn't really... When we set out to do this, we didn't really want to create or encourage the murder hobo lifestyle that D&D and Pathfinder, frankly, reinforced by the fact that that's how you get money to function.
Like that's where most of your value comes from.
You have to loot bodies and steal their armor.
You keep what you kill.
Yes. It's an animal thing. The games were better. I feel like that's a very loose way of stating our intentions, right? And what frustrates us about these games.
Yeah.
We picture the average dungeon party goes into a dungeon. How much physical loot do we expect them to carry out that we need to have an inventory?
A drum.
A bag of money.
A dillo's worth.
I mean, this also depends on the size of the dungeon, but I couldn't imagine more than like... Because you're also running around with it and accumulating it as you go through it.
Yeah.
You're not always going to be able to double back. There's sometimes where that's an impossibility.
And also, maybe we should stress that, like I'm playing a Pathfinder campaign right now, right? Mm-hmm. And we're walking around with all of our worldly possessions.
Yeah.
Including just untold amounts of gold. In any other fantasy setting, what does that mean for you?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to kill you for it. There's just no getting around it. So maybe a way of getting players to use their downtime to get things out of their inventory is to just talk about the fact that the woods are dangerous and people will mug you to take your shit, and it's not so...
Or just steal it. You don't even have to be there.
You can be asleep. They're going to take it.
Yeah.
What if your party's carrying over a certain worth of goods, the DM adds an extra dice... That they roll at
percentage
night.
Dice to see like if you're going to be attacked.
Yeah,
yeah. I think maybe making it mechanical is maybe a little too much.
I'm just
it's a good. Yeah. I think you're in the right area though. Like I think we can describe the world and the expectation as such that listen, if your players aren't taking this seriously, they live in a world where this is true. Like if people in the forest hear the cling clang of gold. And there's only three people walking through the woods. They're going to get ambushed, and people are going to try to take their shit. They need to offload.
I like the idea of having like civilized versus uncivilized parts of your map too. You don't want to be walking around showing off super expensive stuff.
No, you don't want to look too much like a scholarly wizard.
Yes,
in clean clothes, in many parts.
But then, okay, so how do we get rid of our
part of it? I think we've already fixed by. Not hoarding armor.
Yes.
And also, very rarely in the games we played have we even picked up weapons unless we're looking for something alternate that our weapons don't provide.
Or you see that one's magical, which is rare.
Yeah, and better suited to your needs.
So what if we just have an armor slot, weapon slot?
Well, that's fine. In your loadout, you do have that. Yeah. So the problem, though, is that, like, what can you carry?
That's what I'm saying. What if you can't put that into your inventory? You have your... armor slot, your weapon slot.
I feel like... So the frustrating thing is weight, right? We're talking about, like, how much weight you can carry.
But also size. Size is so important.
Yeah, let's... I think the amount of extra weight you can carry on you needs to be low. Like, yeah. Once you get your loadout for free. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Your loadout, you fill up your slots, you know? I mean,
you've already accounted for,
yeah.
I'm carrying a 7-pound sword.
Yeah, we'll say, like, what is a weight that if you have it in a backpack, starts to affect you in a fight pretty dramatically? I think anything over, like, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, 30 pounds is pretty... That'll
30 pounds changes the way you move.
Yeah,
you know,
even a gallon of water in your backpack makes you.
Yeah, that'll mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say for every, what kind of penalty can we make that if you're just trying to carry too much shit into the dungeon, we can treat pack animals and carts and stuff like bags of holding.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, like
mm-hmm. a cart has enough space to put more than most parties. Yeah. If you subtract the armor, than they'll ever carry
for sure.
You're like some books. An idol or two that I thought was interesting, some gems. Not, you don't usually actually loot that much if you got rid of the armor and the weapons that you just lug around to sell at shops.
Can we make cave geckos into like our donkey?
We already got Dillos, baby.
Yeah, but they're not gonna go into caves. We got Brookies.
Dillos would totally go into a cave.
Donkey's not a Brookie.
That's true.
Brookie's not a donkey. I'm saying as our donkey substitute.
I don't know. I don't think they're. Man, I feel like nothing can really stand in for a donkey.
Nah.
I think you just have donkeys totally unchanged. Like the only thing.
Wait. What about a kind of goat that's larger? Ooh,
like goats.
I like
a mountain goat. Like a mountain goat with like a fucking spiral horned.
Like a donkey sized mountain goat?
Yeah.
End of that.
Down.
Yeah. Right. What do we call them?
Gnarly ass beard.
They're just goats. They just forever. It's just goat. It never changes.
Because they're the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
What,
or
why makes, would it change?
Mix goat and donkey, and it's goaty.
Like the ancient gonky. Egyptians.
Gonky. It's a gonky.
All right. Gonkies.
The ancient Egyptians called cats mao, which is the sound all cats make. Mm-hmm. So would they just have, other than gonky, which is amazing.
No. It's gonky.
Gonky's gonky, too fun.
Yeah. Gonky's too fun.
It sounds like a Lucas Phantom of the Menace.
It is, but you know, it's, yeah.
Okay, so we got gonkies. All of our animals end with E.
Not Dillo.
Gonky. Oh, you're right, Dillos.
Brookie and Gonky. Those are the only ones.
Yeah, Brookies and Gonkies.
And, you know, and it's okay to say those are close enough where, you know. Maybe the E is the root word for rideable creature.
You got to separate them, though.
Yeah.
You can't have them too close to each other all the time.
Is that why your mom ends in an E?
Oh! I don't know what that means.
Because you can ride them. I was. He was.
Oh.
Max is the only one listening to me, and I appreciate it.
I'll hear it in post. So we got gonkies, we got Dillos, we got Brookies, we got other people in the caravan, we've got carts, we've got all of these mm-hmm. things. We should really be treating expeditions as, like, if you're three people sneaking off on a stealth mission,
yeah.
What are you doing grabbing all this armor?
Right.
No. Yeah.
You're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably even leave some stuff behind. You tie it up in a tree.
Oh, yeah. If we kill... like a guard that has a sword he inherited from his great grandfather, the super wizard. He can take my fucking machete. Like,
yeah, I'll, I don't
like,
give a fuck.
Leave that behind. Yeah.
It's not like
people don't deal with evidence. They'll never notice. Yeah.
So all we really need is to list the weight of things.
Yeah.
You don't count the ones that are in your loadout, right?
No.
But you, anything extra you're carrying has a weight, and once you exceed a certain amount, we could say it scales up with your endurance.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Or your strength.
I think strength is good,
that's the old standby. Like,
yeah, strength is what.
Sorry.
Strength is what other systems use, and it makes sense if what you're trying to do is
lift
just
things,
just put it on your back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you're going for a while.
Yeah,
you know, especially in combat, like it's really gonna wear on you.
Yeah. They say it's not the mountain that defeats you, but the pebble in your shoe.
So what if it's 25 pounds to start, and then plus 5 pounds for every point in the stat?
I like that. Now, what's the penalty though if you go over?
If you go over, I think decrease movement speed.
Mm-hmm.
And
in combat, okay.
Decrease movement speed in combat, and for every 10 pounds over. Minus one dodge.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. So reduces, I would say for every 5 pounds over.
I would do the movement penalty, I think, should be 5 pounds. And I think the dodge should be every 10 pounds.
How about we just stick it with 10s? So just -1 to dodge, -1 to move for every 10 you are over.
How about not for every 10, for every bracket over? So if you can carry 35 pounds, you're carrying 36. You take those negatives, but then you have 9 more pounds to play with.
Yeah.
So the penalty happens as soon as you cross.
What isn't that the same? Like, so I've got 25 pounds on my back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 endurance. That means I can have up to 55 before I start. Or is it every 5 pounds?
I think it should only be 5 pounds.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot. 55.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you can hit 45 or 35.
So I'm at 35 pounds.
Yeah.
I put 45 on my back.
Yeah.
Now I lose 1 to speed, 1 to dodge.
But I also think that should be true for 36 pounds. As soon as you cross that threshold,
okay, yeah,
it applies.
Yeah, agreed. If you're over, so if we would word it as though once you exceed this value, you lose 1 to speed and 1 to dodge for every 1 to speed, 1 to dodge, and an additional for every 10 pounds extra you are over. Yeah. Okay.
Then you drink 2 Nuka Colas and you can fast travel. You're golden.
Right. So because what are we carrying? Right. We're carrying potions. Like, if we're going into a dungeon, right? Food, potions, we're splitting it amongst each other to try to not slow everybody down.
Yeah, like, what are you bringing?
Yeah.
Some tools, but...
But you might be underwater for, like, a week, you know?
God, I don't want to be underwater for a week.
Not unless you're Savathian for our Savathian campaign.
I think managing... Well,
if you're underwater, what the fuck's weight got to do with it? You want more weight to keep you down.
It's true. I think...
Drylanders be adventuring like this. Survive, be adventuring like this.
Just being aware of how much things weigh, I think, is actually an easy thing for us to include as an item stat, right? What's a typical potion weigh? You know, if it's a potion that heals you, it's half pound?
Yeah.
Half pound. How big are we talking?
Half pound is a lot. Like,
well, if it's a vial's really light.
Yeah.
You know, like 2 ounces.
Yeah, I don't think you're... You know.
Oh, we should definitely stick with the metric system, though.
Yeah, I don't think you're crushing a 32 ounce to drink a potion.
No,
I think it's sucking. It's also done in milk challenge.
It's also done in like 6 seconds. You'd have to do the weird beer thing where they make the vortex.
Yeah.
Oh God.
That's a good life hack, though. That's somebody's special potion making side path.
It becomes a bonus action just because you could just whip it down.
Well, the way we've talked about potions is that they're all unique. Like the vial that they're in, the way you take them, you might have to snort some. Like
you're forgetting the potency of potion butt chugging.
I've been told that my
hear me out. If I use enough momentum, I am, let's say, a Gelt ice wizard. Okay. Can I make an ice luge leading to my downed compatriot and pour the potion down the ice luge? Luge into the compatriot's mouth?
You can make simple items out of ice, I do believe, with enough steps down there.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, fuck yeah. Can we do a bro campaign?
You gotta ice your bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like this.
And also, just want to put in a really quick caveat of... If you're a GM and someone wants to take something that they could not possibly physically carry because it would be cumbersome in its shape or size, just tell them no.
Yeah, you can say no.
You could just go, no, you can't carry that desk around. Like, I know you can, the weight of it is you're not carrying around a table.
You're like, oh, the dillo broke its ankle. You can't take it further. You're going to have to leave it behind. It's a heart-wrenching moment. And then it's like, I put that dillo on my back. I'll take the penalty. And it's just like, you can't do that.
Like, it's like, okay, you know what? He's got a high enough strength. He put all of his momentum into strength. Yep.
He lifts it and he can't move.
Yeah,
he just stand there.
You could drag this poor dillo. You could do it. Go for it.
But drag it. Oh my god! At that point, you shouldn't be able to intimidate. Yes, but not.
You gotta play smarter,
not harder.
Like, yeah.
I do want their note to be like a 5 pound folding table that you can like traveler's table that you can just slide in your backpack behind it and just have with you.
Like those weird spring out chairs that people whip out of their sleeves. Okay.
McGargle would definitely have invented that table.
He would have.
But it would be huge.
Yeah. No, it'd be very compact and get unreasonably large for how compact it can get.
But it's super dense. Like, it is the heaviest.
It's so heavy.
Everybody's like, what do you have in your pocket? Nothing.
What if he was making a folding table, but it compacted so hard that it split an atom?
No. Yeah.
He made it out of osmium. So I feel like that's a really simple way of dealing with it. The loadout thing, we could say you have a two-handed weapon, two one-handed weapons. And if you have like a wand, let's say you're an open hand wizard. You're Path of Fire, and you keep your hands open. I think you still get things you can put in those slots, but you just have to reach down and grab them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're hanging off like pistols. You can grab two wands and fuck somebody up.
Well, I do want for the loadout, especially for range characters, mm-hmm. where like you can have a crossbow and a sword and another sword sitting on you. That's not crazy. You can have a two-handed weapon.
Sure, it just takes up your
weight. And a one-handed weapon on you as well, and shield things. So I think what we should have is a main weapon slot that could be two weapons or a two-hander, and then a secondary one.
Well, I think we're actually still okay. If we don't do that, if we keep it simple of like, you get all that for free, the rest of it you have to account for, sure. Right? Because if we're like, okay, I'm a two-handed weapon guy, and I've got a buckler and a machete, short sword.
Whatever.
Arming sword weighs what? 2.5 pounds? Maybe 3? Yeah. You know, and a buckler is, if it's too heavy, it's useless, you know? So I think if you want that extra redundancy, you just take that out of your way. And usually, if you're the person doing that, you've got endurance
to spare. Yeah.
So, and everything else is like potions and stuff, like, you know, or whatever you're picking up, the MacGuffin of the. Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, if we're already giving you like full armor and you have a broadsword two handed and you have your potions on you and you want to carry a shield, at what point did you, the player, lose the image of what your character even looks like?
Yeah.
You know, like you're just looking at the numbers on the page.
And we can just define a bag as by the maximum size of an item it can carry,
yeah,
and the maximum weight it can carry, that you can carry it without extreme discomfort, right? So like a backpack, yeah, you're not going to put more than 25 pounds in it for the adventure, but if you pick up something that's 50 pounds, that's fine. You can put it in the backpack. You can carry it. You can carry 80 pounds in it, no problem. Yeah. Say like a backpack's 100 pounds.
Because the material will hold.
Yeah, your movement speed is reduced.
Tensile strength.
Yeah. Your movement speed is reduced to 1, and you guys are just taking your time and leaving the dungeon. You know, so you finished everything. Mm-hmm. You can walk out with
it. You'll put it in the cart that's waiting outside for you.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you can build a sled from reeds or whatever, and the four of you can drag it, you know, afterwards.
And I think there should be, and this is another possibility for other things, there are rituals that allow you to to gain bonus weight that you can carry without being burdened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But and maybe there are magical items that do that or potions, but I always think they should be temporary and they should be things you have to consider.
Yeah, that's cool. And a ritual that like makes something weightless is probably you're preparing that before the, like, you know, going in, you're going to have to pre-prepare some of that because the thing you're trying to get out of here is huge.
They make it weightless and it just shoots up in the sky.
Yeah. Well, it makes it like hover like 3 feet off the ground, but it doesn't reduce its mass or its inertia. Yeah.
So you still have trouble pushing it.
Yeah, you still gotta like make sure it doesn't hit the wall. You gotta slow it down. That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, that's maybe simpler than I thought it would be, which is good. We focus on weight. We focus on size of objects for the bags that you have, and bags. All right, let's talk about bags.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Actually, let me do that. And that's pretty simple. So let's talk about bags, containers, things that you carry. Let's define a backpack, right?
Okay.
I would say maximum capacity of backpack before breaking, maybe 100 pounds.
Perfect.
Less than 3 straps, probably.
Yeah.
Usually 2.
Usually, but there are often 3 straps. There's a belt strap.
Would there be a 4 strapper for a Tectani?
Oh, maybe.
There might be, yeah.
Maybe one with a frame built in for heavy, you know, hauling out meat.
There should be satchels, like a messenger bag.
Meat hauling.
That contains less weight, but you wouldn't be able to carry it without it. Wonder how fucking up your speed, so you always have it.
How different a backpack would be for a species that has an exoskeleton.
It would still go on their back,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it'd still need to strap around their arms.
But I mean, is the back, doesn't have a spine, so is it like a load-bearing, you know?
Yeah, well, I think, well, specifically the Tectani are a little better at carrying stuff.
Yeah.
Is it like ants?
Should just hire a Tectani like servant. Mm-hmm. Forget the Dillo. Like, just have him show up.
So we can.
I am also willing to give a 5-pound bonus to Tectani racially.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, just to throw them a bone.
But they already get
really
endurance.
Good stuff.
Well, I think endurance is one of their stats.
So, all right, well, they're perfect.
Yeah. a backpack, 100 pounds. Let's say a hemp backpack is mm-hmm. probably a reasonable thing to make. Hemp or leather, whichever one. It's 100 pounds maximum. And it can store something no bigger than itself, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, which we could just define it as like how many liters, you know, like your typical backpack. And then we could have upgraded backpacks, like, you know, frame backpacks, hiking backpacks. They can hold the bedroll. They can, you know, haul meat, that kind of stuff. They expand. They're extremely, extremely expensive. But if your party decides that that's, if they want a version of a bag of holding, but they still have to suffer the penalties, then that's what they want to, it's they want to use. They can all carry shit out. But I think that backpack is going to add weight, right? But it can carry more before breaking.
Yeah.
And if you're just trying to move stuff out, you can just dump it at the beginning. Yeah, we'd say combat. Like, what does it take a move action to dump your pack?
Maybe. Sure.
Is that in our initiative?
Yeah, and we actually improved initiative.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
So I'm saying if you're surprised, maybe, well, you have all your shit on you.
Yep.
You lose a move action.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know you're going to get in a fight. You can dump that backpack earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate that.
Yeah.
All right, so then like...
And also, most people will carry a backpack that will not add enough weight. Like, the amount of times you're going to have that much stuff on you seems going to... It's going to be less than half the time.
Yeah. So we got backpacks. I think those are pretty easy to understand. Then there's like... You know, satchels, pouches, stuff like that. And what they provide isn't just a place to store things that have weight, but access, faster access to things, right? Like a backpack, you're not getting anything out of that backpack without a full turn. You have to spend a whole turn because you got to turn, you got to take it, bring it around front, open it, reach in, find the thing, pull it out. Like that's a full turn to locate what you want. You'll have it your next turn.
It's going to sound like I'm trolling, but I'm not. What would you say is the limit of the number of backpacks that could fit into a backpack? And I bring this up because as a party, you'd be like, well, shit, I don't want to wear a backpack and have the hassle of taking off before I get into a fight. So let's have the Tectani carry the backpack full of our bags, whatever they are.
Well, I think that's a normal thing, right? Yeah. Like, I would say, we would give you weights of backpacks and and we'd say how much space they take up, right? Like they take up, I think a good backpack would take up 2 liters of space. Because they don't have the super thin composite materials that we have.
Yeah, I mean, if you roll it up, it's like almost like a bedroll.
Well, we could make a Tectani silk backpack. It has a lower, weight capacity, but it.
I thought it'd be just the same if Tectani silk is.
Well, I think the idea is for it to be just the same weight capacity. I think it would be. Wouldn't it be thicker but lighter?
Or like Tectani queen silk or some shit.
You know? No, could be cool. I think it'd be thinner.
I think for it
and
to be
lighter. Like to silk be, is very strong so maybe, and very light.
Maybe it's
it's just expensive as fuck.
It's expensive. Oh,
yeah. Expensive as all hell.
And it has to be repaired more often. Because
I think it gets stronger when Jackie Chan pees on it.
Yeah. You didn't say pee cloth bend bars. Yes.
Well, I was thinking. It's got to have a weakness. Like if it's just a straight upgrade for Tectani silk bag. Yeah. Well, first of all, big weakness is anybody sees you wearing one.
Well, yeah,
but the thing is, it's a problem.
I think unless you're a Tectani and you're leaving on your
but also, but even then they're expensive. Somebody will kill a Tectani to take their backpack.
Sure. Yeah,
I don't think it. I think it can be a straight up upgrade. It should just be one. Good luck fucking finding one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, buy it at your own peril.
Maybe they're rare because they don't last as long. Because the silk is incredibly strong in one direction, right? But abrasion and things like that, just over time, they wear through.
Yeah. You know what doesn't last on an adventuring party?
Silk.
Yeah. Like, that's why they wear leather.
Yeah, you'd have to like you couldn't drag a silk bag.
No. Yeah. So like, that's
you know. But a leather one, if it's
you gotta jump in the water. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, so we could they're not waterproof.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They have no water have no water resistance. Okay.
Oil skin is
so the
pretty ancient though.
The durability, the low durability explains their rarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And their price. Because their price is their utility is really high. But then like they're just not appropriate for a lot of stuff. So I like that. I like that because if you stuff, let's say one backpack can fit 4 other backpacks easily.
Yeah.
And then it could probably fit 10 Tectani silk backpacks in it.
Okay, if you're a backpack seller.
Right, but save that just for the diren, you know?
Like, sure,
you
sure.
Know, only for the things that, you know.
So eight liters?
8 liter backpack?
That's what you're saying? 4 2-liter backpacks?
What's a standard? Like
JanSport? Are you talking like something more?
No, I'm talking a day pack.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be a little more.
I was thinking 12. You could carry 4 2-liters of soda, all right, in a backpack.
That's 8. You could carry more space than that, but those 4 sink to the bottom.
Did I say 4? I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant 6. I was thinking back to like 1997. I'm like, how many 2-liters would I fit in a backpack on my back?
I've got a pretty good backpack, somewhere. But it's a little bigger than you'd want to bring into a dungeon.
Mine's pretty good.
Yeah, yours is about the right size. I was thinking,
Man, and when you strap that thing to you, mm-hmm. and it's packed well, mm-hmm. you can run with it no problem. It's not like you don't even notice.
Sure, it would reduce your speed by 1, but you're still moving pretty.
I don't think I've ever had 25 pounds in it though. Yeah, I probably have like 10 in there right now, max.
Whoa. Okay, so my backpack is 66 liters.
Okay, shit.
Way more than we were thinking.
Yeah,
that's like 2 Mountain Lightning. 4 Dr. Thunders.
Dr. Thunder. Where is it? Yeah. Is it really 66 Mountain Lightning?
It's all Dr. Thunder.
Jesus Christ.
What about just the main pouch?
It tells me the size of it in inches. It's a 3.5-pound backpack empty. Main compartment is 21 inches high by 14 inches wide and 8 inches deep. So, yeah, I mean, that's if that were waterproof and you filled it with Mountain Dew, it'd be a hell of a lot more than 6 2-liters.
Yeah.
Max just had an orgasm.
I was just thinking about the process of going through waterproofing your backpack specifically for how much Mountain Dew you can
all just put a plastic bag in
it. No, but I also like the idea of like putting a straw into a backpack and drinking from it in front of people. Everyone going, what the fuck?
This orange soda is not going to, drink itself.
It's like, you could have bought a Camelback. Nah, this fits more.
All right, so what's the standard JanSport? Let's see. How many liters?
46.
60 sounds like so much.
It's a pretty big backpack. It's a lot bigger than a JanSport. What is the volume of a JanSport?
Things Google didn't know you were going to ask it.
Nope.
I was trying to find, this whole time I'm trying to find one because I have the backpack of holding. It's my backpack, and I want to see. Nobody's listing it because they've discontinued it. And apparently ThinkGeek has just made, they've reinvented the backpack of holding. I'm like, oh shit. I might be interested in buying that. They turned it into a shoulder bag. Okay, but backpack.
I do want a good messenger bag, though.
Standard JanSport. I think that's our American standard here.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
sure.
32 liters.
Oof, that was way off.
No, that sounds good, though.
Yeah, well, that's waterproofed, filled with Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
And including the front pocket.
I went 46. I was way over.
It's a lot of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Oh, they got leather ones?
See, but how many Tamagotchis can you get onto the front of a JanSport before the front rips off? Can you Google that?
Is it full? Is the JanSport full? Because that would definitely add to the resistance.
Yeah,
because
the force.
Add to the rigidity.
Yeah.
That's true.
But wouldn't the opposite forces? Because the Tamagotchis pull this way, the books pull this way?
We brought up XKCD once today already. Okay. Ask him. He might actually get you an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could almost get a good idea by looking up information on, like, luggage. Because, like, the luggage brands will brag about tensile strength and, of course, the volume and the space inside and everything else.
Damn.
How many Delta workers can stand in this suitcase before it collapses?
Looking at this, looking at these JanSports.
If it's Delta, just one.
Look at these JanSports. Just makes me really want one again. They're such handsome bags. Look at this.
That is a nice Jan.
It's a good bag.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I've had that one before.
Yeah, this one's leather.
Just.
Dude, an adventurer would fucking murder
for this.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. This JanSport, this $60, which you will never pay.
For it's the bag of kings.
If it came, have you seen Lord Rothman's bag?
It's a JanSport.
If it came with a thermos, people would be.
Oh yeah, the water never goes cold. It would be a magic item.
An enchanted bag. Forget like bag of holding in terms of like, oh yeah, it's just a pocket dimension. Yeah. But like an enchanted bag that will keep cold things cold and warm things warm.
Dude, nylon. They would flip their shit.
Fucking forget about it.
900 Cordura nylon.
McGargle's McDLT.
I know we're not making it official just yet, but the idea of a bag that if it's enchanted with the right things keeps cold things cold and warm things warm revolutionizes the food industry.
No. Well, here's the thing. Those things definitely exist. It's just they're ancient, non-synthetic
Oh, yeah. Somebody finds
materials. There's just a Domino's pizza bag
exactly,
in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where I was thinking.
We have three sitting at the shop right now.
That's criminal. They're ill-gotten.
Yeah. Yeah. We have lots of stuff in the shop that was ill-gotten.
They were just left behind after pizza delivery?
No. We know someone who used to work for Domino's, and it is very common for Domino's employees to take those because they're very nice bags.
You can fit a lot of hot stuff in it.
You just fit a lot of stuff in it.
Okay. Well, Stink, your standard JanSport is the most you would want to carry into a dungeon and still be able to move. Anything bigger than that, and it's going to get caught on shit. It's like, I mean, if you're camping, it's different, right? You want something big that can carry everything that you own, and you distribute the weight among everybody else, and you reduce your speed enormously.
Adilla should be carrying that anyway.
Yeah, if you have one, if you're not going vertical, you know. But if you got a couple gonkies, you can go pretty vertical.
If you got the messenger bag, you don't want it all on one side. I think you got to go backpack.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got a bunch of potions, though. You want messenger bag with them sorted.
Yep. That's true. And it only takes move action to retrieve one, you know, from something like that. If you got a quiver, obviously, it doesn't take one of your actions to retrieve something from your quiver to fire.
You'd want your strongest potion on your side.
You can handle my strongest potions.
but potions are just vials. That could almost be like a bandolier or a belt.
Yeah.
If you have the slot open.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And I think you should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Put a potion bandolier.
Garter belt.
Do bags take up slots?
Yes.
You think so?
I feel like bags give more slots.
You get a bag. There should be a bag slot. You shouldn't be able to put
multiple bags,
six backpacks on you, even if you erase all the negatives.
Or is it one of those things where it's like, just throwing the number out here, a backpack takes up one slot, but you gain four slots, that type of thing.
Yeah. I don't think you gain slots.
You gain weight and volume.
Yeah, you don't gain slots from a backpack or from a bandolier or anything like that. They're going to add to your total encumbrance, right? You have slots of what's equipped. They don't count towards your weight.
Right, okay.
I don't think a bag is not part of your loadout, but a small bag that can carry less stuff has weight. Like, whatever you're carrying in it has weight, but it provides you access in combat. So you're willing to take... The bag has its own weight that you add to your inventory.
Let's just say you are not allowed to have any duplicates of the same type of bag. So a shoulder bag... And you can have a shoulder bag and a backpack. You can have some potions in your shoulder bag. And your backpack could be loaded with only 5 or 6 pounds worth of shit. Because that's all you're carrying with you. But you still want your potions. But you can't go backpack, backpack, backpack.
No. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm going to do front backpack and backpack. And it'd be like, all right, fine. Have you ever done that, like, say, in an airport?
Well, maybe it's bag specific, right? You can only have one backpack.
One shoulder slung pack, one fanny pack.
Well, or you could have like a belt full of different pouches, and each one is its own bag with different capacities and sizes, right? So I think we don't really need to make a rule about this. We can just specify per item.
And there's also a difference between a bag that you wear and a bag that you carry.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I imagine that a bandolier full of potions that keeps them all separate is significantly heavier than a regular backpack.
It'd be like bold leather or something.
Yeah, you know, stiff, like. You know? Yeah, it'd probably be like 5 pounds for that, right? Like
Before potions.
Yeah, because it's got buckles and stuff, you know? And then you add potions to it. And you want a backpack? Okay, well, you gotta... If you don't want penalties, drop it when combat begins.
I'd love to be the GM. All right. Nope, he hit you in the chest where all your potions are. roll to see how many potions he just broke. Like, they're in a bag. They're safe.
I think
maybe they're a little more padded.
Should we remove? So I think spellcasters need to drop their shit too. What, like, if they can't just be encumbered and be like, well, nobody's going to attack me, so I can stand here carrying all this heavy shit and suffer no penalty, because that would not be true, right? If you've got 20, if you've got like 40 pounds of gear on.
I will already say this. They are already so flimsy and easy to kill if they get hit with range attacks.
Yours is.
Even other ones, man. It is a huge problem.
Ice mages are pretty sturdy.
They have good armor. They still will not have the HP to want to get hit more than once.
Sure. But why are they the pack mule then? You know? Why are they also...
Because they have the abilities to make that true. But also, they could still just drop it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
you would still drop it to not take the negatives to dodge.
I think that dodge. So, but I think it would also affect your chance to hit for everybody across the board. Right, if you start carrying heavier stuff, it either affects your chance to hit or your damage.
If you're using a long sword and you're wearing a backpack,
yeah,
that's going to be a fun time.
Sure,
just a negative one.
Negative one.
I think is
hit.
A good enough incentive. Yeah. So just the same rule. Just add the negative one to hit, mm-hmm. negative one to dodge, negative one to speed for every 10. For once you exceed your threshold, and for every 10 over.
The only time you wouldn't be swayed by that is if you're literally playing like an adaptation of Benny from The Mummy. We're just collecting gold everywhere you go, and it's just like, just drop the money! It's like, no, I need it!
Like, damn, McClane, this is heavy!
Yeah. Oh, shit, is this real gold?
Five people will laugh at that. Okay.
It was only, like, the most popular movie of 1993.
It's great. It's my favorite Die Hard. Okay, I think that's a reasonable system that hopefully doesn't require too much bookkeeping or too much GM finger pointing in the same way that having it's a very firm rule. We've got extremely firm rule on here with firm results on what it would take to mess up the players, but the players suffering this negatives is maybe something that's up to them. They can decide whether or not they want to do it, so a GM can't really put them in a position where they're like, dump the pack or die, you know?
Yeah.
Unless it's the speed thing, like, which makes sense. What's the minimum your speed can be reduced to? Just one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
If you go to zero, you ain't moving. Good job.
We'll say. So what's zero? What? I think you can be at one speed for a long time, like as you keep adding weight, right? Like you still your negatives for to hit and dodge keep going up until you're at zero. You can't dodge anything.
How about double the amount that required you to get to one? Because that's just an easy thing to say to specify. We're like, I needed to have 60 pounds on me to get to one movement speed. Mm-hmm. I can put 120 on me when I hit zero. Mm-hmm.
That could be an interesting dilemma where if you're like, people are dangling off a cliff and your whole party is on a fucking rope and you're like, hold the rope. You're like, I can hold you, but I ain't going anywhere. Like that kind of thing.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I feel like inventory system is in the bag.
Oh, crazy.
Next, let's talk about strength.
Because we were talking about bags.
God damn it.
All right, that's a real
that was.
I feel my strength leaving me as the fucking jokes keep going.
Alright, so I want to go over real quick thrown weapons. And let's talk about weapons first, and then we can talk about thrown objects.
Yeah. Right. After that. Improvised weapons versus meant to be thrown.
Because that'll lead into the next thing I want to talk about. So we talked about back pocket bolos before. But as a rogue move, you've got that weapon on you, and it does something specific. You can use it as a granted action, right? A granted attack. All right, but let's say you got Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Ebola. You have Ebola in your back pocket or whatever, wherever you keep your bolas.
Yeah.
If you're in Texas, you keep it around your neck.
Should we describe that for like our Icelandic friends?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That was a bolo tie joke.
Yeah.
It's the weird things you see on weird oil tycoons' necks instead of an actual normal necktie.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is two heavy balls tied together with a long string that you throw at somebody and they wrap around their legs or whatever and trip them.
Everyday American carry.
Yeah. Especially if you're Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross.
But at least you got Alec
Brass
Baldwin.
Brass bolos. Yeah.
Coffee's for clothes.
You know what it takes to be a cowboy? Takes brass bolo.
Sarsaparillas for winners.
Put the whiskey down.
Whiskey's for closers.
You fucking cowpokes.
All right.
I'll do the whole thing. We got to stop. Sorry. Moving on.
No, it's El Guapo's men. And he's out there. He thinks he's giving a speech to like some organization. It's just El Guapo's gang. I'm down with that movie too.
Sounds great.
Any Three Amigos, Greater Universe, I'm down for.
So, you got your amigos. All three of you got bolas.
Uh-huh.
You're spinning them overhead like the bad guy in Kung Pao. You throw them, okay? How far can you throw them?
Six squares.
Six.
That's
spaces.
Six spaces, sorry. So 30 feet accurately to hit someone with a bola?
Should it depend?
Does it depend on your strength?
Or dexterity?
I would say strength.
If strength is how far you can throw it, dexterity is still determines your chance to hit
someone, yeah.
I think strength determines distance.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you're the Hulk and you throw one, that's going to go way further than just a normal person.
All right, so 10 feet per point of strength?
Yeah, with a base.
Yeah.
There's a base.
Minimum of 5.
Minimum of 5 mm-hmm. point of strength. Yeah. Extends it one space.
Okay, because 10 feet's pretty...
10 feet's already pretty good.
How about 10 plus your strength? Because if you got 3 in strength, that's you're maxed out at level 0 when you create your character.
Yeah.
Then you throw it 40 feet. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I don't think you'd be throwing
because you're a really strong person. Yeah, then, too.
Yeah.
But you are an exceptionally strong person.
If you could only throw a bolo 10 feet, I don't know if you would use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I could throw one at least 25 feet and never really have done it before.
Yeah.
But not hit anywhere near where I want it to.
Well, but your strength, your strength could still hurl it, but what your dexterity determines your accuracy.
I think Max, if I was to rate you, you would have at least a strength of 1 in real life.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Should be a whole episode. We stat ourselves.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Please don't make me do this. I really don't want to do this.
I took out I have a website, the defunct website I created called levelgrinding.org, where I was trying to say, like, if you were to stat yourself like a D&D character, how would you do it? Mm. And I tried to come up with different tests before I knew that, like, deadlift is the best for testing strength.
Everything, yeah.
And as far as, like, the other stats, it was... Like, intelligence is okay. We got tests for that.
Yeah.
You know, IQ. But, like, wisdom? That's off the table. Can't test for that. We're out. Like...
You can't even test for that in every situation.
No. You're wise on certain subjects.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Constitution you can test. Just very dangerous.
Yeah. Just drink poison.
Yeah.
See how much poison you can drink before a bad thing happens?
No, you just take a squirt of liquid soap and pour it in, like, with a beer or something and be like, do you feel like you're going to die or do you just have a tummy ache? You
know? Everybody does the cinnamon challenge.
Fuck that.
You chug a gallon of milk.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Don't you guys remember in The Terminal when Tom Hanks and Catherine Zeta-Jones were talking about Napoleon?
Yeah.
Took little bits of poison every day. Then tried to kill himself and couldn't.
Died of syphilis.
Yeah.
Or something like that, right?
You guys have all seen The Terminal, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. All one of my favorite Spielberg films.
But I was like, I'd hate to ruin this for you. Then it'd just be like your general size and weight would determine your constitution for most things.
Yeah. Well, I think it generally does, unless we talk about...
Unless we replace
constitution with endurance.
Yeah.
And then we talk about how far you can do something difficult or for how long. Mm. Okay.
Throwing bolos.
Throwing bolas. So let's think of that as an accuracy thing or the distance, and you'll start to lose damage if you try to throw beyond your reach.
Yeah, if you exert yourself, sure.
Let's say your dexterity, you're going to hit the target, right?
Yeah.
But if you if you throw past your range, your dice tier can be reduced by 1 for every square. For every space that you exceed your range?
Mm.
Sure.
Because the point is to have them engage and not just hit something.
Well, throwing weapons in general, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so a bola is different than throwing, say, a shuriken, a javelin, a throwing dagger, you know, or a spear because...
A dart.
You want it to wrap up around their legs.
Yes.
So do you make... You throw to see if you hit them, right? And is there a penalty passed by which you exceed your distance on whether or not it wraps them up, or do they take, or do you take a negative to your grapple check to grapple them with the bola?
You take a negative to your grapple check.
Does that expand out with how far out?
Well, it's just this is tough because if you're doing the dart or a throwing dagger,
Gesundheit.
If you're doing the dart or a throwing dagger. That is something that has to, like, penetrate somebody. That has to, like, actually stick them. A bola is, it's a wider target because you just have to kind of get close and tangle them and snare them.
But let's say, what happens when Ebola hits somebody?
Right.
What mechanically happens?
That's, I guess,
I think your two hit needs to be degraded.
Yeah, the further they're outside your range, the less chance you have to hit them.
Yeah, like, because when you throw an object, its horizontal velocity, while it is affected by, you know, wind resistance stuff, it isn't affected that much at a thrown speed.
No.
It's mostly constant. It's gravity. It's drop that you have to be aware of.
It doesn't make sense to say, okay, if the range that you can throw the bola is this plus your strength, but what if you go beyond that? You're not going beyond it because that's as far as you can throw it.
Well, let's think of this.
Do we have a sling?
Well, we don't have a sling yet, but we do actually. Because
that would
be
the same mechanics.
It's not the same mechanics as a sling because you have a force multiplier in the sling.
Isn't that the point of Ebola? Is you have the...
Kind of, but Ebola is heavier.
Oh, okay.
And a sling is a bullet. Like, it flies out so low, and it's just meant to pierce the target. Whereas Ebola, you have two heavy... weights on the end of a rope that you're trying to throw and wrap around somebody. Well, but think about this. If you try to throw 10 feet out, or sorry, 10 spaces outside of your range increment, right, then you're taking a negative 10 to your grapple check against that person, which doesn't get augmented by anything you have. So if we say like a bola should have a fixed grapple check, like a low fixed grapple check, and then it gets degraded past a certain point.
Yes, that works.
Because it's not based on your personal grapple check.
No, it's what the ability of the bola is.
Right. Yeah. If you threw it within your reach and you hit them, it's going to make a check that they have a chance to get out of.
But if you're going beyond, like if a fleeing target,
and this is just for scoundrels, right? This is a scoundrel specific.
No. Or is this a weapon.
Okay.
Yeah, the scoundrel one has its own very specific things that you can do as a granted attack from somebody. Yeah.
I think all bolas should have a flat chance of a flat number for grappling.
With one exception, and that should be scoundrels.
It's just because basically you're throwing a trap. Like if you could magically throw a bear trap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'd be like you could do the same mechanic.
I want the Wild West scoundrel.
So back pocket bolo.
Tex-Mex scoundrel.
Back pocket bolo is, it has a range of 5.
Uh-huh.
It's dex versus dodge to hit. Target is immobilized until the end of your next turn and grants the upper hand to you and your allies. If the attack is a critical hit, they are also knocked flat. You may only use this once per scene, but it doesn't expend your use of one scene attack per scene. So it's a range of 25 feet in this case, right? So it doesn't make a grapple check. This one just, if it hits them, it immobilizes them.
Fair.
But if we're talking about a weapon that anybody can use, it should have its very specific fixed mechanics, okay? So let's make it thrown weapons, in general, 10 feet plus your strength in... for 10 feet, then plus 10 for every point in strength you have for range.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every space beyond your reach, it loses one dice tier in damage.
I don't think its damage should be affected. I think its ability to hit you should be affected.
But you're talking about for thrown weapons. For a bola doesn't do damage.
I'm saying the amount of momentum and your horizontal velocity is not going to be affected in that amount of time. Your accuracy at being able to hit things will be affected.
If I'm throwing a dagger inside of 25 feet as hard as I can, it's going to penetrate hard and deep, right? Insert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Penis. Badoom-chick.
Yeah. If I am trying to arc it to hit at 100 feet, it probably won't even stick.
I don't think 100 feet should be.
Right.
Just an example.
It's not on. Yeah. This is a thought experiment. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to hit something at 100 feet, even a tree, it's not even going to stick in the tree.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the reason why I say, if you reduce its dice tier by 1 per square or per space. We can say that if it gets to where its dice tier is 0, it cannot hit.
All right.
Hitting doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And the stronger you are, the further that range is. So, you know. I can see that.
That's the only way I'm thinking of, like, okay, your chance to hit, like, we can, because I
that,
think.
That does get weird, though, because then, like, well, I guess it's not an ability. So, wait, do basic weapons scale up with dice tier?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, the range is going to be extended as you
level up. Mm-hmm.
That's actually, I'm kind of into that.
Yeah.
We could try it. See, or we could add to difficulty to hit and reduce dice tier. Because if we're only talking by one, yeah. Right? Then if we're going to make it symmetrical, we should say it's reduced by one for each for every 5 feet.
Yeah.
Instead of every 10. Okay.
Can we have a javelin style thrown weapon that can be thrown from anywhere within your movement as you move? Because that's what javelins were for, running towards the enemy.
I don't think there's I don't think we have a rule against hitting and moving, do we?
I don't think we
do. I just mean like, let's say you move forward, three spaces hit you.
I think marksmen get a bonus
after having moved.
I mean in the process of moving. Like let's say I want to move three spaces,
right.
Hit somebody, move my extra three spaces, just because that's how javelins were used in battle.
Maybe we can add a special property to javelins that if you can release it at any point during your movement, and if you do the I don't see like what benefit would you give to somebody? We'll just say that's the thing of javelins.
I think the benefit is that you get to move and shoot.
Yeah. We can say that
naturally with the thing.
Because it's also a javelin.
Move and shoot is a marksman thing already.
Yeah. And a javelin is a commitment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's much more of a commitment than a throwing dagger
and
or
if
a
you're
shuriken.
Using like a pilum, which is made to hit a shield and just pull it down, so you can't use it anymore.
Yeah, we could have javelins and pilums work the same, but the problem with pilums is in our game, how often you understand.
We're coming into the slots.
Yeah.
How many do you have on you?
Well, and it's also a problem of they were also designed one time use.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's just when we started talking about thrown weapons, I started to think about javelins and
okay. So and things can have longer or shorter ranges depending on the weapon. And we already have that. That's the case for our other ranged weapons that we have that are non-thrown. Okay. So for every space beyond your reach, chance to hit and damage is each reduced by one.
Yeah.
Chance to hit and dice tier. Okay. Let's talk about Bolo again.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's its check? What's its grapple check? So to escape a grapple is your dexterity versus the grapple check, right?
Yes.
Or your strength. It could be either one, whichever is higher. I would say it gets a flat +5 because it's a complicated. If it hits you full on, it's difficult.
Yeah.
to deal with.
So it's the grapple check would be your to hit modifier, or is it just a flat 5?
I think it's a flat +5.
Then I think it needs to be higher than 5.
Well, the reason I say so is because nobody else is. Like, if you create a level 0 character, you'll never get to a +5.
But this is the modifier. So the modifier then is 15? Like, you need to make... What? Because you're rolling against it, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see. That's a good question. Do we roll or do we make it flat difficulty? We could just make it 15, right?
Yeah.
If it hits you, it has a standard grapple check of 15. Mm-hmm. Here's the difference, though. I think you can automatically escape a grapple from a bolo after you've been grappled.
You can just take it off, yeah.
If you spend a full action.
Yeah, you two hands.
You just just takes time to unravel it.
Yeah. Yeah, so if somebody like gets in the way, you don't have to roll a check against it to get out. You can just spend your whole turn doing it. Mm-hmm. Or you can spend a check and hop out.
Or if you got a knife on you, just cut it off or whatever.
Yeah.
Does a lariat have room in our world?
Maybe eventually.
All right, cool.
But is that a thrown weapon? Kind of.
Yeah.
All right, so bolo, if it hits the target, it gets a grapple check of 15. If it gets the 15, okay, we have the same rules. If it's a 15, you're throwing it on your turn, right?
Uh-huh.
On their turn, they get a grapple check against it, 15 or higher, will break out, or they can spend a full turn and will automatically succeed to get out of it. If it's a crit, when it hits them, they're knocked flat.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, cool. And I feel like the rest of it, the any other thrown weapon, daggers, all that stuff, it's just figure out what dice tier they start at.
Yeah.
Shurikens and daggers.
And if they should have a range modifier based on some of their qualities.
Yeah.
Like an ice.
There are certain things that are meant to be longer range.
Yeah. We would say
like javelins can go fucking far.
Yeah. We could give a javelin a starting range.
Yeah.
Well, we think about it like that. They have a starting range of something that you don't need strength for, +10 for every point of strength.
Because, like, what's the world record for javelin? It's something like 200 and something feet.
It will never be broken again. They changed the rules.
They changed the javelins.
Yeah,
but it almost left the grounds.
Oh no!
Of the Olympics. That's how far this guy threw it.
How long ago was that?
I think in the 60s. He was the best ever. It's also worth watching the throw, like watching the mechanics of his throw, because people have done that particular throw. They've done breakdowns, and they're like, it is the perfect release angle. He doesn't get in the way at all. After he throws it, he still ends up just barreling forward another 15 feet. Like, he put everything into it, and it just fucking sails.
And then there's like video of him doing it three more times at other competitions.
It's
ridiculous.
Walk us through, what are you thinking when you prepare for that? He goes, I just picture Xerxes on his throne.
But the idea that you could, like, even someone who's moderately strong could throw it 100 feet if they knew what they were doing isn't insane.
That would be so much fun to just go in a field and throw a bunch of javelins around.
Yeah, I think shot put would be fun to, like, have someone teach you to do for a day.
Yeah, I feel like I would release wrong so many times.
Oh, yeah.
I think the discus is more fun than the shot put.
I think I'd have more fun with shot put.
Shot put looks harder.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. The problem with discus is the spinning.
Yeah.
Hammer throw. I think hammer throw gives you a little more to hold on to.
Literally, yes.
Yeah.
That's smithy, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what I won't feel safe doing. Going to one of these, you know, pop-up stores that do axe throwing for amateur hour.
Hell no.
You seen any of those videos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
All right. I don't care.
I think...
Oh, you might do fine. It's the other people you gotta worry about.
No, the whole thing is, I do it in Chud's backyard all the time. It's so much fun.
Although, I also go to indoor gun ranges, and those people are way worse than any axe throwers.
They're terrible. Way more dangerous. Yeah,
it's so fucking... I've never been to one. I can't imagine how goddamn loud it is.
It's pretty loud, but they're only using pistol calibers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not as
still.
It's loud.
When the guy next to you is 357s, they're just flying up over the divider and hitting you.
One guy shows up with a fucking deagle and chom, chom. You're like, what are you doing?
Puts it away for another 6 months till he comes back.
I'll have to save up to buy more bullets.
Yeah, I use it for in case there's a home invader. It's just like it's so fucking loud. Like you're gonna go deaf.
I think, like, as far as ranges go, like, shuriken's got to be the shortest.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing aerodynamic about them. No, they're terrible. Thrown knives, shuriken's about the same, right?
The only thing I would add to, like, shuriken or a throwing knife would be I think you should be able to, like. I don't really think of them as an offensive weapon so much as an interrupt. Something of like, fuck you.
Well, they're a distraction.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're a way to kind of just put somebody on the back foot.
Put someone off balance, yeah.
Right.
Because a shuriken was never supposed to be thrown, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be held in your hand.
Are you talking about kunai?
I don't... You guys know me. I'm the last one to know all these things. But I just remember seeing that they were actually supposed to be held in your hand as like a multidirectional knife or something.
There's so many different...
No, the throwing stars.
All right, well, let's talk about something that's like a big shuriken that definitely was meant to be thrown. Yeah. A hungamunga.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that thing does good damage.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of hunka chunka.
Hunka chunka?
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't know.
It sounds like you're talking about some coming-of-age movie.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm like, is he talking about the thing from Kroll? Like,
that's the glaive, which is not a glaive. Okay. This is a hungamunga.
Oh, hell yeah. Whatever happened to the hunka chunka?
Yeah. Okay. Makes more sense.
Behold, the hungamunga.
we watched Demolition Man the other day, so.
Okay.
Chunka is a...
Yeah, the hungamunga is basically like a thing that if it's spinning...
Mm-hmm. Is just all blades.
You don't want to be anywhere near it. And it's heavy.
How do we feel about a flying guillotine?
Like a sharpened boomerang?
Have you seen that movie? It's a martial arts movie. It's pretty great.
No, we're going back to Kung Pao again? Swinging a chain?
No, this is actual, like... It's like a thing they throw it on you and they pull
it.
Also,
it's a basket and it goes over your head. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That thing. Okay.
Yeah. Was that?
I think it was called the Flying Guillotine, wasn't it?
Look, that will be in our Kung Fu movie-based expansion.
Sure.
All right. So we got... So Hungamunga, I think, will do... It has the same reach, the same range as a shuriken, but it does good damage.
Yeah.
So I think if you hit somebody with a shuriken, it maybe does like... Your strength is damage.
Yeah.
With no dice tier, nothing like that. But maybe they get a negative to their dodge. right? Because they're okay. distracted.
Sure.
Or -1 to dodge and attack.
I like that.
Right? Just yeah. flat. Just it doesn't need to be more than that.
Because you're not going to dodge or attack as good if you got a knife sticking out of you, you know?
Yeah, so, and it feels like the whole point that you would even have those on you mm-hmm. is to, oh no, I didn't quite make it to somebody. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds fun.
And they might not even need to take up a loadout slot because they're just like...
They're
tiny, man.
You could like, you could have a one of your bags
in bag, yeah.
that just is a quiver of yeah. shurikens.
It's a keychain of shurikens.
they come out of your wrist like they do in for Genji and Overwatch.
It would be really cool if you're like, oh shit, this guy's charging me. Throw your javelin, whatever, and you're like, oh, he's still coming at you, and that's what kills him. Just that little
shuriken.
Yeah, just that little like,
or just shuriken, and then the next. Turn he gets to you, swings and misses by yeah. one, and then you're just like, Hah!
Just imagine the beautiful snowflake shuriken that an ice mage would make to throw at you.
Ooh, ooh, that's a whole character yeah. making shurikens out of ice
or daggers,
like exquisite ones. So you know, like you're dying by art.
Just hold on, I need to find something real quick that I've not thought of in years.
Jack the Bear. The Danny DeVito movie.
You know what? I haven't thought about that in years, so that's accurate for me.
All right. Can we think of any other thrown weapons that people would want to throw? Oh, so any other things that are made to be thrown?
I was thinking like was it Frankia or the throwing axes? They're really yeah. weird shaped throwing axes.
Yeah. Let's lump Hungamonga's throwing axes okay. and they're, tomahawks.
They should be pretty functionally yeah. similar.
Yeah. Right.
And you're not fighting a monster with a throwing axe. Like, yeah. That I mean, shouldn't be a backup.
If you want to.
But it's a hatchet. Like, if you want to fight a monster with a hatchet, sure, but yeah. you shouldn't be getting axe stats and being able to throw it.
Right, but you've got a throwable axe.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is, like, a stick of TNT, like the equivalent, like a bomb, you know?
We're going to talk about the difficulty it is to throw something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
McGargle's stick of dynamite is 12 feet.
We're going to have to make it based on weight as well.
But other weapons, I don't really...
If you want to throw a stone, like, it's going to be yeah. based on the weight of the thing you're trying to throw, right? Of how far blades. You can throw it.
A net?
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
Trident.
Yes, that's all I can think about.
It would just be a spear, but a trident.
A net and a trident is all I can think about with the gladiators.
Yeah.
You came to the wrong fishing village.
Old Triton here. Yeah.
That's a skimmer. It's a skimmer weapon.
You're going to get killed like the mackerel yeah. you are.
Yeah.
All right, so
get back on your boat.
Get the fuck out of here.
Let's think about nets. Nets will... That's like a bonus to grapple, but you can't throw it as far.
It's a death
yeah.
sentence.
Yeah. the net is a death sentence. The McGargle net gun.
I feel like a net should take movement and attack because the way you have to spin it like a cast net.
Yeah, you have to move. It takes a full round action to throw
yeah.
a net.
Yeah, I don't think you can throw it with one hand either.
Like, no,
that's no full... absolutely not. You get a banana cast if you do that.
Yeah, full movement.
And we can just give it the same distance as yeah. that. It just takes a full round action. So you can't move before throwing it because it takes your move.
And it should be a check to get out.
Well, I think 15 grapple is fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you're not going to get a chance until your next turn anyway to bump. Because
yeah.
conceptually, this is all happening at the same time. But you're really only throwing it on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
So on their turn, we decide whether or not it got them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now just the difficulty to hit an area with a stone, right? Difficulty of 5?
Sure.
Distance is just, what do we subtract? For every pound, you reduce one space. like we set the distance to 60 feet, and for every pound it weighs, reduce it by one. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. If it weighs 60 pounds, you can throw it 5 feet.
You just have a character who picks up a rock to crush someone else, like Andre the Giant, Princess
I would.
Bride.
I'm why not? That.
I was thinking like a gallon of milk weighs like seven and a half pounds or something.
Mm-hmm.
How far could you throw a gallon of milk?
Me?
Accurately.
Accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Accurately as in it strikes like the target.
Hoop. You throw a hula hoop out and you're trying to launch that gallon of milk into the hula hoop.
You know what? We can actually test this.
We can.
So
can we do it on camera?
Let's all make a estimate, so that way we've got a number we can start with, and then let's test it next time we meet up.
We're just gonna buy a lot of gallons of milk. All right,
not milk. We could
water.
No, I want it to be milk though.
We could have one gallon. We could throw out a bunch. All right, I like this plan because I like throwing stuff. And we'll pick a tree We'll try to see how far we think we can throw it.
Yeah, and okay. The goal is hit the trunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do an underhand or overhand? Because the whole thing
doesn't matter.
The whole thing is, the thing about it is, the tomahawk. Gallon of water is fucking so odd shaped compared to stone.
We are talking about, well, no, stones are whatever shape you find.
That's true.
So we're talking about.
With a baseball, I could hit very far away, sure, but very accurately.
Baseballs are designed to be thrown.
Yes. Yeah.
We're talking about improvised thrown objects. You're going to throw a battle axe? We need to understand, like,
baseball's the size, the weight, the shape, and even the threading is for you to throw it.
So I think the thing I want to go for is...
I would probably say, like, it's really a gallon of water? Maybe 20 feet. Could I, like, accurately strike a tree?
20 feet?
I think I agree with you. But now we're at, that's what, it weighs 7.8 pounds, something like that?
Okay, here's the other question. Are you talking standing throw? Like, you fucking stand still
you're
and you throw
combat.
It. Or do you get, like, or do you spin like a discus? You
doesn't
know, that's the difference.
Doesn't matter.
I'm saying stand.
I think, honestly, we will have the same results regardless. Because this is not something you can train to do.
It sounds like we're training to do it.
We are doing an experiment.
Are we just starting a smithy team?
Says he. I'm going to go home and just start hurling milk jugs at the fence until I can get accurate. Just
Doug's going to show up next week.
He does it at 60 feet. We're like, what the fuck?
I'm bad. We should bet money on this.
I'm not even at full power yet. I'll have to use that technique. They call him the milkman because he always delivers.
Lacto hurl.
he butt chugs the gallon and then shoots it off like a pressurized rocket at the fence.
All right, I was saying let's start with 30 feet, reduced by 5 feet for every 5 pounds.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For starters, sure. Yeah.
Well, but then again, like 5 pound objects, pretty hard to throw.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just pick up one of the 5 pound weights in the gym.
And had to chuck it.
Well, it's
even if it's a brick.
Like, those are the weights of the gym are discs. They're a little easier to throw.
How much is an ingot of gold?
An ingot, you mean like a
gold brick?
Yeah. Bullion.
That's a little bit bigger than I was picturing.
Well, ingots are different sizes.
Sure. Like a brick of gold.
You know when like, they pick up a bar of Nazi gold in the Indiana Jones. That.
Yeah. Like in...
gold actually uses ancient measurements.
Like City Slickers 2 bar of gold.
Like an ounce is different. A troy ounce is not like a regular ounce. So I don't know how much those things weigh. Pint of beer weighs a pound.
Yeah.
Pint of beer weighs a pound, really?
16 ounces.
27 and a half pounds.
Jesus.
For a gold bar.
Mm. Holy shit.
And that's in the
Three Kings is full of shit, man.
Yep.
Dude. It was?
We three kings be stealing the gold.
Do you remember they couldn't carry
that? That's right. They did put it in that suitcase and it fell apart. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I think bar of gold, I think of Three Kings because it's absolutely. Just like, this is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And Die Hard with a Vengeance. We're like, what the hell is this, McClane?
Yeah.
Reduced by 1 foot for every pound. How about that?
Sure.
30 feet reduced by 1 foot for every pound. Let's make it 40 feet. So we got a 1 pound object.
Do we measure this game in the metric system or what? Like, I know we discussed this before. No. Like,
what? 30 feet. Because I'm thinking 1 pound of spaghetti. Sorry.
Okay.
How
far could you throw a single strand of spaghetti accurately?
Accurately?
Yes. Cooked or raw?
In a vacuum or
raw? Yeah.
We going angel hair here? Like,
yeah,
I got
questions. Yeah. All right. So,
rigatoni.
Improvised weapon, your distance is one foot reduced by, or sorry, 30 feet reduced by 1 foot for every pound it weighs. Its damage, so its damage should also be based on its weight as well.
Yes.
Right?
The damage, however, should go up.
Yeah, getting hit with a jug full of milk versus an empty jug is very different.
Well, let's think you got a 7 pound great axe, right?
Okay.
Let's go 10 pounds. 10 pound great axe, right? Mm-hmm. Right round number. You can throw it a total of 20 feet, okay? It weighs 10 pounds. Does it do a tier of damage for every pound it weighs, plus your strength?
What's tier 7?
I mean tier 10? It's a 10 pound is what I work with.
Oh, yeah. What's tier 10? Because I have a feeling the answer is going to be no.
But your distance should be like two spaces.
That's what we said, yeah.
It is too much now. Sorry. I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Because okay,
to throw a battle axe, like...
Yeah. We'll say for it's pounds divided by half is your tier, because that brings you to tier 5.
What's and tier 5 is what, 1d
so eight? d4 d6 d8 2d4.
I thought tier 1 was just 1.
No, tier 1 is d4. So 2d4 die 10. Die 10 at that distance plus strength.
I still think that's too much.
But listen, you lost your axe.
Yeah, but I still think it's too much. Because what's the great axe is what, tier 6 natural for just swinging it?
I think it's more than that.
Now, let's say someone's using that knife on a string like Scorpion.
Uh-huh.
How much of a turn does it take to reel that back in? Because you're not Scorpion. It's not part of your body, right?
I think there should be a dexterity check to make that faster.
Okay. Because
if you nab them and then you do that, if you are dexterous enough, you should be able to just like yank it back in such a way
like
that it's
pretty
easy.
Kill Bill.
Okay. Similar thing. It's mm-hmm. more practical than Scorpion's weapon.
Yes.
A lasso.
Yeah, we are.
I said lariat. Different terminology.
But like the idea that okay, you throw it. You could use the same rules mm-hmm. as a bolo. But what about pulling them in, like you're saying? Like, what is that?
That'd be a strength check.
So I think I like this because a great axe does a die 12 at level 0.
Okay.
Plus whatever, plus mm-hmm. all your abilities and stuff. You throw it, you're going to deal within your range, and you hit the target. You could throw it a maximum of 20 feet. It only gets extended. I think improvised weapons only get extended by one space for every point of strength.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you'll deal a die 10 plus your strength and damage.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's the difference between a die 12 and die 10, but you don't get to add any special
abilities.
There's
so many factors leading up into you actually hitting. Yeah.
You think it's going to kill them. That's why you're throwing it.
And it's gone.
Yeah. If they catch it, oh, you're fucked. I don't think you can catch a thrown weapon with your back. You wouldn't call that catching.
yeah, you call it getting hit.
Yeah. So we got improvised weapons, and it'll be half the weight rounded down to a minimum of 1 is the dice tier of damage it does.
Okay.
And I don't think it scales with your... Does it scale with your level? It's gotta. Everything scales with your level. So it'll be... It doesn't scale linearly because you have to have it first and then add your level to it, right? Okay.
Like, if I throw a rock at you or 1993 Daryl Strawberry throws a rock at you, those are very much different.
Bo Jackson throws a crabapple at you. Mm-hmm. You're fucked.
The big unit, Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson kills you with a rock.
Dislocates his elbow and shoulder to throw a rock at you. You're dead. It's going right through you.
Those cracks better watch out, right?
It's coming in at like 82 miles an hour, even if it's a thing that's not supposed to be thrown.
Yeah, is he the one that made the bird just evaporate?
Yeah. Oh, that video is amazing. I heard he felt really terrible.
He felt sure. very, I very would. Bad.
Well, the bird's got us back with the Fabio thing.
Oh, that poor goose. Okay. That's the only time you'll ever hear me say that.
Yeah.
Fuck a goose.
Yeah, our podcast is Fuck Canadian Geese.
All right. The Canadians are going to be so mad at us. Last thing I want to talk about then is not thrown objects. Your fist.
Okay.
I think.
Oh, I throw these hands.
You can throw them hands. I think your fist does 1 damage at level 0.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe 1 damage at level 0 and add your strength and is untyped, so it doesn't get the armor.
Because it's just
your
damage.
Fists do not ignore armor.
No.
Okay, and then
now
you add your strength. Now, does this damage scale with your level?
I think it should.
By half?
Yes, I like that too.
Okay, unless we do a side path that improves unarmed striking.
I 100% want to do that. Eventually.
Okay, mm-hmm. So unarmed strike does 1 plus half your level
mm-hmm.
plus your strength. Dexterity to hit.
Go with a kick as well? Like Billy Jack?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, okay. Billy Jack. Only if you hit on the opposite side of the face.
Yeah.
One of our listeners may get that reference.
You're welcome.
And if anyone wants to wonder when we're going to make Path of the Pugilist or Path of the Unarmed Fighter, eventually... We'll do a thing with it eventually.
Well, I think that's where we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for listening, as always. And if you have any comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 and up patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord, and you have access to that through our Patreon. On Twitter, we are at homebrewhombres, and on Facebook, facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.